Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast, presented by Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'm your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11.
Ciao, mi chiamo Sara, sono una volontaria al Control Point numero 3 e benvenuti in Italia.
Welcome to Italy. It's day 6 and the race is getting very exciting. The leading riders have pulled away from the chase pack, but after roughly half the distance already covered, the race for the lead is still super tight with four riders very much in it for the podium. While most of our mid-pack are just pushing through the Italian border to the start of the third parcours, on day 6, these leaders completed parkour 4 in the daylight. These guys have been consistent from the start, but ahead is a real scrambler. They have to cross the Adriatic to reach the fifth control point in Albania. There aren't many ferry crossings, so the likelihood that they will be making the same crossing is looking high at this point. That would mean them starting from the ferry deck on the other side, all tied for first place. Whether that happens remains to be seen, but from a Dot Watcher perspective, this TCR leaders race is proving to be one of the tightest on record. Here's Jake telling us what the fourth parcours has in store.
The Strada Bianchi is a modern classic on the racing calendar. It's about 200 kilometres tackled on these light, chalky gravel tracks which give the race its name. These Strada Bianchi, which are very common here in the Tuscan region of Italy. It's amazing to think of a peloton racing along these tracks or these roads at 40k an hour in close proximity, riding in formation on 30mm, 28mm, 30mm tyres. It's loose, you know, watching the leading rider Martin heading through and watching him up these climbs and on these washboard descents. You know, the bike slews around, the bike jumps around unpredictably, and you've got to be one hell of a bike handler to keep things under control.
While hanging out on the Strada, keeping an eye on looming dark thunderclouds sweeping towards them, our media team managed to catch the top four riders whizzing past. Here's current race leader, Cap 297, Martin Moritz.
So, I mean, the question on everyone's minds, Martin, is ferries. Talk to me.
Ferries?
Yeah.
No, yeah, the ferry game is on. I practiced 3 years for it, riding Canguanch.
I know, did
I'm
pretty
Matteo.
Well there.
Last year, I failed big time. I hope it won't happen this time again.
So have you already booked a cabin?
Mm-mm. No. There are no cabins left.
Okay. But you're booked onto something?
Mm-mm. Not yet. Might be stupid, but...
See how it goes. Okay, you have an idea though? You've got a name?
No, I mean... No.
See how quickly you can get there.
Yeah,
nice.
Let's see.
Yeah, fantastic. And how are you finding the Strada Bianchi?
Awesome. Yeah. One lifetime goal already achieved, being the first on Piazza del Campo. So I'm
amazing.
Wrong race, though. Unfortunately.
Oh no. Well, fantastic. And are you checking tracking at all?
Yeah, but I had a problem. My internet is not working anymore. I had to get the eSIM. Yeah. All a little complicated.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's working again.
You've been getting a good bit of sleep and running pretty quickly, though, it seems, compared to some of the field.
Well, yeah, I think the guys behind me have slept even more. So
yeah, pushed it a little bit last night.
they're chasing me, so...
So we better let you get going.
Yeah. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, too.
Previous winner and famous gravel hater, Cap number 2, Christoph Strasser.
Hi, Christoph. How are you doing?
I know this part from training, but I think in spring the roads are a bit better than in summer.
Yeah.
And of course the weight of the bike and the heaviness of the legs.
Yeah.
After 1 week and the side wind, it's really tough. And I just had a crash 5 minutes before, but
no, Christoph.
But I was so happy, lucky that. I was jumping off the bike in the last minute, in the last second, and I didn't fall.
Wow, great but, reflexes.
Yeah, it
like
was
a cat.
It was a steep downhill, and you have these corrugations, you know?
Yeah, the washboard.
Yeah, the washboard. The bike begins to jump. You cannot control it anymore. And I was like riding to the side of the road and getting too far to the right side.
Yeah.
So my front wheel was... sucked, but I could jump off the bike and land on my feet like a
like a superhero.
Not like a superhero, but like an artist.
Yeah, like an artist. Nice. And how does it feel, Christoph, to be racing so close at this point with the other riders?
It's incredible. It's really... I don't know if there has been such a tight race so far in the history of TCR, but it's... You know, we... Sometimes we change positions. There's a bit of different strategy, maybe faster riding versus less sleeping and so on. But everything can happen, and I think we all are hoping for the Sunday midnight ferry. But honestly, it may remain a dream, because especially this section really slows us down.
Yeah.
In order to catch the ferry on Sunday.
Yeah, well, good luck with it, Christoph. Great riding.
Thanks.
At only 23 years old, Cap 232, Victor Bossoni is one hell of a rider. He's been holding the fastest average pace and getting more time to sleep. In the points contest for the fastest cumulative times on the race parcours, Victor is currently in the lead and hoping to take that jersey home, if not the overall win as well.
Hey, Victor. Good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Just I had mechanical problems on the parkour, but
what's been going wrong? What problems?
It's my shifter.
Yeah.
There is no battery, and.
And you need your gears on these rolling hills.
Yeah. But I'm fine.
Well done, Victor. You're moving so quickly compared to the rest of the field. Your average speed is so high. You seem to be sleeping a good lot as well.
Yeah. And also for the next night, I will not sleep.
Yeah.
To take the...
The 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ferry.
And do you feel like it's a race versus the other riders at the moment, or a race versus the ferry?
A race versus the ferry.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just want to ride as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And we'll see tomorrow for the ferry.
Yeah. And you're topping the leaderboard of the Maglia Arancia at the moment.
Yeah.
Is that something you're trying to do, or is it an accident because you're just too quick?
At the beginning, it was an accident. But now, for sure, it's an objective.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now you're putting it down. Awesome. Well, it's great to see you, Victor. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And our first rider into controls 1, 2, and 3, Nicolas Châtelet, is celebrating his birthday today.
Salut! Salut! How are you, Nicolas?
Hard section.
Hard section.
Long section.
Yeah. You're doing well, eh? Bon anniversaire!
Thank you!
How does it feel to be racing the TCR on your birthday?
Oh, I'm happy. It's hard this morning. Now it's not bad.
Nice. Yeah. And the boat, the ferry. You have a plan?
It's a race.
It's a race for the boat.
Yeah. I hope take this 23 hour.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
from Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's if I can don't sleep this night, because if I sleep, it's not possible.
Yeah. And how are you feeling now?
Now, it's okay, but it's after, okay. After 2,000 kilometers, up and down.
Yeah.
Many up and down.
Thank you so much, Nicola. And happy birthday. Bon anniversaire.
Thank you.
At the moment, the leading women are crossing the land between parkour 3 and 4. While the riders are on a parkour segment, the media team can easily catch them for interviews and photos, as everyone has to pass the same way. But in between, they can really spread out. Control Car 2, with race coordinator Hannah, are trying to keep up with our top women riders.
It's day 6 on the race, and up until now, we've mostly been following the tail end of the pack that are still within GC, and pushing up a little bit to the mid-pack yesterday and today. But now we really need to make some headway and try and catch up with those leading women. So, yeah, we're on the approach to the CP. Jana already came through at about 9:30 this morning, and Cynthia only an hour and a half behind her, while Lael got through at about 5. And It's evening now. We were hoping we might catch Jamie tonight, but it's looking like she's probably going to come in at about 1 or 2 in the morning. So we're going to have to get one of the volunteers to wake us up so that we can go and have a chat with her. But I anticipate she might not be up for talking much at that time of night. So yeah, that's the plan. We've just booked our ferry for Monday night, anticipating that the leading women will probably be on that crossing as well. There's a few different providers. Who knows if those riders will be on the same ferry as us, but yeah, hopefully we've timed it about right to be crossing the Adriatic at the same time as them. And we'll try and catch a few of Jana. Do you want to pause it? Yeah.
That's pretty much how the day of a race coordinator sounds, almost always being cut short by another thing needing your immediate attention. Riding as a pair looks easy, especially when you're a solo rider carrying all of your own equipment and with no one to draft off. Pairs riders can share not only the drag resistance of the wind, but also the mental weight of decision-making and problem-solving. You always have someone to watch your bike while you're taking a resupply, and a second brain to borrow when you can't figure out what's squeaking on your bike. But with a pair, there are also 4 wheels to puncture, 2 drivetrains to maintain, 4 knees and Achilles tendons that need to be nursed across the continent. You have to try to match your highs and lows, or else you'll be stopping twice as much to rest. It remains a leading question in ultra racing. Are 2 riders better than 1? Our race reporter Sophie managed to track down the top 3 pairs today and find out how they're getting on. Here's our current leaders, CAPS 396, Matt and Oliver.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I'm Sophie, I'm the race reporter for the podcast. Have you been listening to the podcast?
Matt has been.
I listen. Yeah.
Okay.
It's when he gets fed up with me, he puts his headphones in. So.
It's when he's angry at you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. How is it going so far?
I've had our ups and downs, I think it's probably fair to say. Matt had his catastrophe on day 2. And then I had my catastrophe yesterday, so...
Can you tell us more about those catastrophes?
Well,
so just before parkour 1, at the top of the off-road section, my bag dropped off. But I didn't notice because my bottle cage was rattling, so I felt that that was my bag rattling. And we got to the bottom of the parkour, and that's when I realised, where's my bag? So I went back to the top, all the way. And then at that point, we lost phone signal. So I could see on the tracker where it was. It was at the top.
Oh, because the tracker was
the tracker
in
the... tracker was in my bag, so that's fine. So we could see where it was. But halfway up, you lose phone signal. So I got to the top, it wasn't there. So I came halfway down the off-road section again. That's when I got a phone signal from Ollie that another rider had reported to a park ranger. They'd taken it to a village in Trevisio, which was about 5 miles away down the valley. So I then had to go back up the off-road section, down to get my bag, ride back up, down the off-road section for the 3rd time before eventually doing the parkour again with my tracker in my bag. So we lost about 4 hours there.
Yeah, okay.
And about 10,000 feet of climb up.
So you are the first pair to arrive at CP3 now. How do you feel about it?
I felt there was a pair hot on our heels to start with, but then I think they've the ones that scratched. Or it might be another pair, but I think there's quite a big gap now. So we're content. It's
we're just Romania now.
Yeah.
And rolling into CP3 in second, the Beavers themselves, CAPS 398, Simon and Julien on the parkour.
We are on. How are you guys? So just to put things in perspective, I've been running toward you. You allowed me just 10 minutes of jogging.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really mad at you now. You're going too fast. How are you?
Good. Actually, really good. Yeah.
Last time I saw you, it was,
yeah, was
a few days ago.
There was crash, there was stuff, but this is all beyond.
This was two, three
days ago now, so yeah. We managed to get in a good pace. Yesterday was a hard day, but we were very, very, very lucky with the wind, so it allowed us to... get through the very boring and dangerous roads very efficiently. And this morning it's leisure. All so beautiful. Villages, coffee.
So I saw another pair this morning.
Yeah.
Apparently you've been bumping into...
Yeah, all day long yesterday. We were like crossing paths and yeah, we are pretty much the same route than them. And
yeah, they are the other pair, they have a big motor, so...
And we don't.
Yeah, they're very, very powerful on the flat roads, and we just like having brakes. And we can't be perfect. We just love having brakes and a good laugh. And sometimes it takes some time.
And the third pair on day 6 caps 390, Falk and Manuel.
How has it been so far?
It was
really good.
Well, we are very happy about our position right now.
Yeah, so you're making really good progress. Do you know what is your position at the moment?
I guess 3 or 2, and the fourth in the back.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so it's a tight competition.
No argument so far?
Oh, well, some. It's not easy.
Can you share one with us?
some drafting issues, I guess, but
I guess we
figured out, yeah. And we are in high hopes, I guess.
Yeah, so you're drafting a lot. I mean,
yes.
Actually, all the time. Again, yeah. Guess, huh? So I'm more in his draft because he is very strong at the flat, and he's a great rider. So, and I have to look that I can come with him. So, but we are a good team, I guess. So I'm more the technical guy, so I build the bikes, and he helped me a bit. And now, yeah.
So what's the plan for today?
Yeah, I guess the plan is that we ride to Strada di Assetta and go the first part in the night, and then maybe we make a short bivouac there, and then drive down in the morning. So this is the plan.
Okay.
Hopefully it works. We will see.
And looking at your shoulder, if there is no one behind.
yeah, hopefully, yeah.
But I guess we are a bit faster than the next are coming, so, and if they pass us, I guess it's not a problem to pass them again, so I guess we are strong riders.
Ooh, competition, huh?
Yeah, it's really, this was the first time I'm racing, so it is at the Ultra, and it makes fun.
well done for a rookie, huh?
Yeah. I guess we are good in shape.
Welcome everyone, and welcome to CP3. I'm going to go to a quiet place to do the recap of the day, because at the CP3 at the moment there is a big birthday party and there is a riders coming. So it's funny to see both those events at the same time.
All of the TCR control points are managed by a team who work in shifts to ensure that at all hours there are people here to welcome the riders in and stamp their brevet cards. Here's our volunteer, Sybil, who, between riding her own bike on the Assietta, is manning the desk at CP3.
I'm a volunteer at the CP, and we are a team of 7 people here, and we prepare the CP. We are here when the riders arrive. We stamp the brevet cards. There's also there's application to put the date, the name, the cap number in the system, mm-hmm. so that the dot is renewing, so that all the people see that the people passed CP3. That's what you're doing. We have shifts, we change, I think we do 6 hour shifts. For us as volunteers, it's also very important that everybody is treating them the same, so every rider gets the same. So
mm-hmm. At CP2, they told me that they start cheering the first rider, and then they thought, oh, now we have to cheer them all. So they spend days clapping their hands, cheering the riders.
It's actually nice, no?
I think it's
a good practice. So we also, when sometimes you're 2 people, but yes, I like that a lot. I'm riding too, and it's nice to have a good energy when people are arriving. So yes, it's also nice to have a smile or whatever.
Yes.
So yes.
Even if it's 3 a.m. in the morning. Huh?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Cap 193, Esther Lloyd, has put in a solid ride and hovers around 6 out of the women. She's been sharing on her social media some knee troubles, but seems to have found a solution to avoid taking any painkillers. Here she is with Hannah and Sophie.
Hello. How are you?
Good, how are you?
All right.
Yeah?
It's a bit hot.
Not too bad.
And it's so windy.
Cracking tailwind.
Oh my God. When you get the tailwind, but because it's switchbacky, you're like halfway off a cliff. And then the next minute you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Have you been looking at the map at all?
No.
No, okay.
Zero chance. I am going to. So I've been saving all the podcasts for the ferry. And then I can like listen to everything if I get to the ferry, and then I can figure out what's happening. So my biggest, literally what I've just been thinking about as I was coming down there, I was like super distracted. I really want to do the Caldea Centre in daytime because I want to see it. Because I know it's going to be gorgeous and I've been really looking forward to it because all the parkours always deliver. So I'm trying to figure out if I can get there for sunset or is it going to be sunrise. Either way, it's going to be beautiful. So I've booked a hotel up there just in case. And then I'm going to plan my sleep to be able to get to the top and then the sunrise will come up that side. And then I'll go down into the sun.
And how's your knee doing?
It was so much pain. Now, amazing. It's like nothing's happened. Basically just painkillers. Absolutely fine.
So you've been in touch with a physio.
Yep.
You've got some medical advice.
Yep.
And you've asked whether in this situation it's okay to use painkillers. And you're just using like a topical...
Well, I didn't want to take any, like... I basically said, oh, they would just, like, muck up my, like, guts, essentially. So I just got some Voltaren. So I can apply it twice daily. Yeah. And then at least I can keep track of it. I totally don't recommend this to anyone. Please don't. Like, just in case. Yeah. It's not worth it.
But like, the physio said that you're not risking doing any long-term damage, basically. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Esther.
All right, thank you.
See you in Romania or before, probably. If you're too fast, we're not going to see you.
Don't say Romania yet. That's too far. That's so far.
If we ever ride together, I have one strict rule. Turn off any beeping devices. Here's Cap 206, Callum Harrington-Bott, demonstrating why.
I definitely probably went off too hard and now just trying to settle in, I think. After a while, it just actually, you kind of get used to just cycling 24/7. Like, I have like kind of PTSD of this fucking bleep. Like, I was in the supermarket, the Garmin beeping sound. I didn't have it on me, and then I was in the supermarket and I could just hear it overhead still just beeping. And I was just like, oh my god.
But
please,
why is it beeping? Like, when you take a wrong turn
or just any turns that are coming up, it just kind of beeps at you.
You do know that you can
turn it off. I might have to, for my own sanity. Yeah.
Cap 341, Omar Martinello is happy that so much of this year's TCR traverses Italy.
What do you have your eyes on now?
I'm from Italy.
So good food, I guess?
Yeah.
Because currently you are eating, what are you eating actually?
Tuna with tomato and baguette.
Okay.
I'm so excited and happy to travel throughout Italy because it's home. I know a lot of the road and the street and the place. Of course, Siena, Bari.
And do you already kind of have a plan for the next few days?
I have no plan. Yeah.
You seem to be tired.
Yeah, super tired because tonight we didn't found a place to stay warm and sleep good.
Where did you sleep then?
In a park. 1 or 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, but it was too cold?
Yeah. No. Not too cold, no.
No,
the
but
weather
it's just
is
like
good, yeah.
You prefer to sleep in a bed, I guess, huh?
Yeah. See, after 400K...
You do prefer a mattress than a really hard floor, I guess. Do you have a mattress with you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so comfy.
Yeah.
Do you have a mattress in that? It's quite small. Like, you have a really small setup. I actually like it.
It's the smaller between the other type of sleep because it's...
half one. Okay, yeah. So you just put your upper body onto the floor. Yeah, this is a kind of sacrifice that you have to do in a race like that, I guess. Mm. It's comfortable, but half, just for the half of the body.
Yeah.
Here's Sophie at the end of day 6.
We started at Gorge de la Meuse this morning. There was a big sun and there was a crazy wind. And guess what? It's tailwind day.
So now that we move forward into the race, I can feel that riders are a bit more tired. They had the opportunity to do a big distance yesterday in the like flat-ish part of France before reaching the Alps today. So today I asked the riders on what they had their eyes on in Italy as we are getting closer to the border, and I was sure to get an answer about a ferry, but there was just Italian food here. That's all they could think about. I guess it's hard to think too much ahead when the only thing you can think of is what you're going to put next into your mouth or where you're going to sleep. My bravery badge of the day goes to Mark Kowalski, Cap 278, for his choice of BV spot yesterday. So he slept near Serpenson Lake, not really in a five-star hotel, but more like in the public toilets of Serpenson. I've done that myself once or twice in a race, and it takes courage to put your mattress right next to the toilet. It seems that he had a bit of space between the actual toilets and his mattress. I'm still going to ask him to take a shower maybe before arriving to Romania. So the plan for tomorrow is to move forward again with the Media Car 2. We're going to try to go to the Parcours 4 to see the leading woman. It was supposed to be our plan for today, but they are just going too fast. So we'll have to wait tomorrow. I think that's it. So buona notte and good ride, everyone.
My honest take is that if you haven't taken refuge in a public toilet yet, you haven't fully experienced unsupported ultras. Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. Remember to stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where our official race photographers are sharing images from the ride. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Rive GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe and keep going. The next part is fueled by Italian food.